Let us turn our Bibles back to Revelation 21. Our text reads, and I'm looking particularly at verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." What a blessed promise from our Lord Jesus. The title for the first sermon of this new year is, "Behold, I make all things new." It is indeed of the Lord's mercy and grace that we have come to this particular day of the year, the first Sabbath day of the new year. I trust that the words of our text shall sound like a pleasant song in your ears. I am thankful indeed that the deeper meaning of this text is even more joyful. The newness which the Lord Jesus is able to bring is bright, clear, heavenly, enduring. We are at this moment specially ready for a new year. Many people have grown weary with the old. The cry of depression, of hard times and troubles, particularly because of the ongoing pandemic. However, we should not forget and ought to be grateful to escape from what has been to many a 8 to 9 months of great trials. The last year had become dreadful, stressful, and fearful for many, with a dark cloud of judgment hanging over us. Yet in it, I hope you can see the mercy of the Lord. It could be worse. The pandemic or this virus may spread in such a way that, or so quickly, or so fiercely, that many more could have died or suffered from it. We hope that this newborn year will not be worse than the last year, and we pray that it may be a great deal better. At any rate, it is new. Today, being the first Lord's Day of the new year, mark a new beginning. And we are encouraged to couple with it the idea of happiness as we say one to another, "I wish you a happy new year." It is usually at this time that we think of the new year and hope it will be a better year than the last, and that it will bring forth better things to come. However, we ought not, as Christian believers, to be carried away by novelty, by anything new, for we worship a God who is ever the same, and of whose years there is no end. In some matters, actually, the old is better. There are certain things which are already so truly new that to change them for anything else would be to lose old gold for new dross. The old gospel is the newest thing in the world. In it, its very essence, it is forever a good news. In the things of God, the old is ever new. In the greater truth, or rather in greater matter of truth and godliness, we may safely say there is nothing new under the sun. It is also at such a time, brethren, that we want to put behind us all those things that we describe or define or call as bad or unhappy events. Those things that trouble us. And we tell ourselves that we want to start afresh, to begin anew. Well, all these things or all these thoughts and desires are good in itself. And indeed, we should, like what Paul says in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things that which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Yet at the same time, we cannot ignore the sad fact that each year does not necessarily bring forth new things or new opportunities. Like this pandemic, it follows us into 2021. It may continue with us throughout the new year. And so it does not mean a better future or even more good things to come on our way. In fact, I would like to remind all of us that the new year, this new year, may bring forth, according to the wise counsel of God, it may bring forth more sorrow, more troubles, more affliction, perhaps even more pain or more calamities. And for some, this year may be the time that God said to you to meet thy God. Are you prepared? As Christian believers, as redeemed and renewed people, we have to learn to recognize the fact that as long as we are in this sin-cursed world, we will have a mixture of sorrow and joy, the pleasant and the unpleasant, a time of sickness, a time of health, even the time of death. These are realities that we in our fallen state have to come face to face with. And none of us can escape from such realities. The wise King Solomon in Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. This fact holds true in the years past, and it will still be applicable in the coming years, as there is really nothing new under the sun. According to King Solomon, who wrote these wise words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. As long as there is sin, and as long as we are in this sinful world and in our degenerating body and living in this sin-drenched world, we cannot expect a better tomorrow or new things to come. The clock, this world clock, so to speak, is winding down. Winding down each day, each minute, to the day of final judgment when the Lord returns. But we have to objectively expect a blend of the good days and evil days. For the world is day by day, as I said, winding down to that final day, the day of Christ's return to judge the world. Therefore, as Christian believers, we ought to have learned from Scripture that God did not grant us salvation through His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, so as to make our life here on earth better. That is not the objective or the purpose of God saving us, wretched, undeserving sinners. Being a Christian does not mean a better life, a better job, a better house, better education, better pay, better health. No conflicts, no evil will befall you. But for those of us who are truly in union with the Lord Jesus Christ through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, each new year can indeed be a blessed new year, not without trials and affliction. However, we can look forward to the new year and welcome it with joy. It can still be a blessed new year for one unchangeable fact, which we have to remember all the time. This unchangeable fact is that each new year And I wonder how many of us really think about it or remember this or consider this or reflect upon this. This unchangeable fact is that each new year will bring us closer to the day and time when Christ will return from heaven to earth. It also means our trials, our affliction, our sorrow and our pain, and what things that so easily overwhelm us are also coming to an end soon. Do we? Or are we really looking forward to that day? The day is drawing nearer when Christ will begin his everlasting kingdom, and the new year will bring us closer to the day when finally all things will be made new, as God promised in his word. It will be another year closer to the full realization of all these things to come. Christian believers have every reason to look forward to the new year, because our celebration, our rejoicing is based on the fact of Romans 13:11, which reads, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed." Thomas Watson, in his book on the Lord's Prayer, has this very encouraging note for all of us. He says, I quote, "Now is our salvation nearer than we believe. You who have hoary hairs," white hair that is, "your green tree is turned into an almond tree. You are nearer to heaven. It is but going a little further, and you will set your feet with heaven's gates. Oh, therefore, now be encouraged to hold out. Your salvation is nearer than when you first began to believe. Our diligence should be greater when our salvation is nearer. When a man is almost at the end of the race, will he now tire and faint? Christian, pluck up thy courage, fight the good fight of faith, pursue holiness. Ere or before long, you will put off your armor and end all your weary marches and receive a victorious crown. Your salvation is nearer. You are within a little of the kingdom. Therefore now persevere. You are ready to commence and take your degree of glory." Unquote. And so, friends and brethren, for this one reason alone, our salvation is nearer than we first believe. We as Christians, believers, can celebrate the new year with confidence and joy, because we know that we are nearer to our final stretch of our race. We are another year closer to our heavenly abode, where Christ has prepared for those who are his redeemed children. "Behold, I make all things new." There are three truths in this text for our application. The first truth is this: God's people have the need to be made new. God's people have the need to be made new. Even as we are now in the new year, I am sure many of us is still feeling the strain of life here on this earth. Day in and day out throughout last year, and even the past 2 days of the new year, we have been occupying ourselves with so many things, isn't it? For those of you who are working with your job, with your deadlines, with your projects, for the students, their studies and examination, we would have experienced the tiredness of our minds and bodies, the pressing deadlines we have to meet have mentally, physically, and spiritually drained us. The responsibilities of family too have spiritually also drained us and physically also drained us. For some of us, we may have to face the prospect of losing our jobs in the new year. And add to that pressure, you still have your bills and your mortgages to pay. Others in our midst could be troubled by failing health and the threat of going to the doctors again and again and again without much improvement. All these and many more issues in this life will beset us. And that is why I'm suggesting that all of us, God's people, have need to be made new. Before we can face the existing or current challenges and problems which may follow us into the new year or may have already followed us into the new year, we have to be made anew. We need God to renew us with grace and strength to the power of His Holy Spirit to face the new world. However, there is one problem that perhaps is the main cause of all our stress and strain in our lives for the Christian believers. And that is our sin, our backsliding. Maybe during the whole of last year, we have turned our attention to somewhere else or someone else. Turn our attention on something else instead of focusing more on our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sight perhaps is not fixed on Him fully, but on the things of this world. Our heart is not towards Him, but cold and even indifference, but more towards our own interests and development. And that is why we are spiritually drained and we do not experience His presence and comfort because we have grieved the Holy Spirit, because our heart is far away from God and from doing His will. Could this be the reason why 2020 was not a very happy and spiritually fruitful year for you? Because you have wandered far away from God, your Lord Jesus. Therefore, Jesus invites you and saying to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. This invitation is not only to the Christians for renewal. It is also extended to those who are not a believer. Brethren and friends, children, boys and girls, you need to be made new. And so the Lord Jesus invites you to come to Him for that renewal. "Behold, I make all things new." This is an invitation to you who are still wandering outside His kingdom. To behold is to see. So Christ is inviting those who were weary or are weary and dreary to come and to see how He will make all things new for you and for His own glory. This renewing work has been in our Lord's hands from days of old, in the past. We were under the old covenant. Our first father and federal head, Adam, had broken that covenant, and we were ruined by this fatal breach, this rebellion and disobedience of Adam and Eve. We die in Adam, so as to spiritual life, and our death reveal itself in an inward tendency to evil, which reign or rule in our members, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans. But the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, came and saw us in the greatness of our ruin, of our fall. In His wondrous love and mercy, our Lord Jesus put us under a new covenant, a covenant of which He became the second Adam. And now our Lord Jesus, our surety and covenant head, has fulfilled his portion of the covenant engagement, and the compact stands as a bond of pure promise without condition or risk. Those who are participants in this new covenant cannot invalidate it, for it never did depend on you or me or on anyone, but only upon Christ, who was and is the federal head and representative before God. Today, if you are truly in Christ, then you are not under the covenant which says, if thou doest this, thou shalt live. But no, you are under the new covenant. In God's mercy, under that new covenant which says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It is not now, do and live, but live and do. We think not of merit and reward, but of free grace, producing only holy practice as a result of gratitude and thanksgiving. What the law could not do, grace has accomplished. This brings us to the second truth for our application from this text, which is God alone will make all things new. Notice the verse says, I make all things new. The words from the lips of our Lord Jesus are truly divine. Listen, behold, I make. Who is the great I? Who but the eternal Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead? Behold, I make. Who can make but God, the maker of heaven and earth? It is his high prerogative to make and to destroy. Behold, I make all things. What a range of creating power is here. Nothing stands outside of that all-surrounding circle. I make all things. It is not you and me who will make all things new. It is God who made all things new. It is not God coming to help you to make yourself new. It is He alone who is able to make you new. The book of Hebrews in chapter 13 verse 31 says, God working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is inviting us once again in this new year to come to Him, to be made new, to be renewed, if you like, because He loves us, and He loves us so much that He voluntarily went to the cross to die in your place. This is the first reason why we can go to Him for renewal, because He loves us and He died for you on the cross of Calvary. The second reason is because He is God, and so He is able to renew us or to make us new. He has the power to do so. We cannot renew ourselves because we as fallen sinners has no power to renew ourselves. Only God through Christ and through His Holy Spirit can renew us. And He alone will renew us or to make all things new because we are His blood-bought children. But are you? You must ask. This is only for the Christian, for the redeemed. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So those who by faith trust or have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ can come to Him for renewal and surrender afresh to our Lord Jesus Christ completely so that He will make all things new for you as He has promised in His word. Those who do not have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to urgently come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. If the Lord Jesus makes all things new, then a new birth is possible for you, dear friends. There is enough of light in your soul for you to know that you are in darkness. You need no further proof. However, there is nothing so old that the Lord Jesus cannot make it new. nothing so fixed and so habitual that he cannot change it. So come to him now. You may be thinking, oh, I am such a wretched sinner. I am beyond hope. Oh no. It is he who says to you, I. Remember the I. The Lord Jesus is the one. Not you, not me, not the pastor, not anyone else. But the Lord Jesus can. And he is willing to receive you. If only you humble yourself and turn to him. The Lord can work a radical change in you. He that sits up on the throne can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And as he made you once, and you became marked by sin, he can make you anew. For he saith, behold, I make all things new. We move on to the third truth. Besides realizing that we need to be made new, and knowing that God alone will make all things new through Christ, we can rejoice in the fact that God alone made all things new completely. Completely. God alone made all things new completely. This is the third truth we can apply from this text. Our God, who is all-powerful, omnipotent, is able to make all things new completely or totally. Look at what God says in our passage, Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God does not leave things half done like what we sometimes do. When God promised, he does not go back on his word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So said God in his word in Isaiah 55 verse 11. And then also the same book, Isaiah 43, 19, he says, behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, brethren and friend and children, how wonderful are these promises God made to you, the Christian believers. Therefore, you can step into the new year or begin this new year with assurance that God is with you if you are truly his child. He will be with you to the very end, and he is faithful to bring to pass that which is according to the good pleasure of his will. The new year may not be as rosy and pleasant as we would like it to be, knowing that it is a sin-cursed world we are living in and having a sin nature in us, yet we can celebrate and rejoice in the fact that as much as we need to be made new, God alone will make all things new, and God alone make all things new completely in you and for you. Turn to the Lord Jesus now and breathe a silent prayer to him who makes all things new, and say this in your heart: Lord, make my poor spiritually sick soul to be strong in spiritual health in this new year for thy glory. Christian believers, let us look forward to the day, which day? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Let us in this new year, as Christian believers, born in the Spirit, that we may live this new year each day with eternity in view, that we constantly remember or to remind ourselves, this world is not our home. This world is not our final destination. Our anchor, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. As we studied the book of Hebrews the last time and reminded of that. And let us remember once again to live this new year each day as the Lord lent us breath and life and give us strength and health. Let us live with eternity in view. Each day of this new year is bringing us closer to our heavenly home. Brethren and children, a fruitful, a spiritually fruitful and a blessed new year to you all. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Amen.